Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, July the 10th, 2014. We're going to begin with a conversation with former Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup, talking about the impending imminent start of the Tucson Modern Streetcar and the mayor's role in all the history of getting the car rolling. 30 minutes past the hour, we do the monthly showdown here on the Buckmaster Show. Today, the topic, does color of skin still matter 50 years after signing into law the Civil Rights Act? The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you at 790-2040, and of course, our Facebook page. We're just, I think, two or three friends shy of 3,500 friends now of the Buckmaster Show. Well, in late July, the Tucson Modern Streetcar begins operations. Joining me now on the Buckmaster Show, here in studio, Bob Walkup, who served 3 4-year terms as the mayor, ending his service to the city in late December. Well, it was late 2011 that the mayor, after serving for 12 years, Mayor Walkup, is now the honorary consul to the Republic of South Korea. Mayor, it's good to see you. Thank you for being with us.
Well, it is great to be back.
Well, how early in your tenure as mayor did you first hear the talk of some kind of a modern transit system, not involving buses, but like the modern streetcar?
Almost as soon as I took over in 2001, it became clear that if we're going to do something with downtown, we had to do something with transit and transportation. And we put together, if people recall, a city go it alone transportation initiative, which, by the way, failed.
September 11th came along. I mean, that was on the ballot then in November of 2011. Of 01.
Of 01.
That's 2001. That's correct.
So the mood was, geez, we don't want to do anything because we're not sure about anything. So it failed. The next initiative was Steve Farley's light rail. And I did some debating against it, as a matter of fact. But Steve was firm that it was right for the city. And it failed. People said, look, it's expensive and we don't get it.
Yeah, I think I may have hosted a couple of those on TV, a couple of those debates between you and Mr. Farley. And you were speaking against the transit system at that time.
Yes.
What was your, fill us in on why were you opposed at the time?
Well, first of all, Tucson is very horizontal. And in order to be effective from one end to the other, a light rail would be very extensive, very expensive. We had some of the information coming out of Phoenix that $80 million a mile, and a lot of people were saying, well, gee, is that expensive, and I don't think I'd ever use it. But it set the groundwork for what do you want, people. And we, Steve and I got together on that, and we said, well, let's go and ask the people, you know, what would they like?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, Bill, the first time I heard a regional approach to transportation that included some mass transit.
And that was then the nucleus being formed for the Regional Transportation Authority, which the voters approved in May of 2006. But before they approved it, there had to be a component in there for transit.
That's precisely correct. And there was a citizen group that said, well, you know, if we're going to do this, maybe it isn't light rail, maybe it's streetcar. And maybe we could tie the university to downtown in a limited way that's affordable. And that's what went to the voters. And the voters said, well, now that makes some sense. And it was included in the larger RTA, which eventually passed and funded about $2.2 billion over 20 years of roads and transit safety and environmental issues within the region. It became a regional initiative, and the voters said, let's do that.
Now, the Regional Transportation Authority was formed in May of 2006. So how the obvious question become, yes, the voters said, we'd like this transit component. Okay, how are we going to pay for it?
Well, herein comes the really tough battle that happened from 2006 almost to the year 2012, because the voters approved only half of the funding. The other half to come from other sources. Didn't say where the other sources were. But that meant that we had to go market the concept of a modern streetcar and find the money somewhere.
How much money were we talking about that you had to come up with, you and the other government officials?
Over 75, closer to $85 million was monies that had to come from somewhere.
Okay.
And we went, and this is where, Bill, mm-hmm. this is where the mayor gets up out of the office and grabs his bag and heads for Washington, because you can make some of that locally, but the money is in Washington for these kind of projects. And that's where I went for the next 4 years.
And you went back and had to do some things you had to be rather forceful at one point, because what we're talking about is something called the goal was something called a Tiger Grant. I'm not sure that's an acronym. I don't know what the acronym for that is.
I'm sure it all fits.
It all fits, yes. But that was really the component. Without this Tiger Grant, the modern streetcar was dead in its tracks.
It would have gone away, as a matter of fact. The RTA would have probably said it will never fund that part of it. They would have had to go back to the voters and say, well, if we can't do that, maybe we can do some more highways somewhere or more intersections or what have you. So it was critical. And the Tiger Grants was coming out in the heart of the economic downturn that happened in 07.
Right, fall of 07. So your timing, in effect, was, I guess, good.
Perfect.
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 Because there were stimulus projects being funded.
But, Bill, if you recall the moment, mm-hmm. we were being advised, don't use any stimulus money.
Okay.
That's bad for general politics,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is nuts, because the Tiger Grant was $1.6 billion that was going to be spent on transit mm-hmm. within the United States somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We had to participate in that. The trick is, out of 1,200 or 1,500 applications, how do we get the $63 million that was remaining? Because we were able to get some money. What is it going to take to fill up, to get ourselves to around $193 million to finish the project? That was the trick.
All right. We're going to hear about what the trick was after we take this call from friend Jim Kelly of the Buckmaster Show. Jim, you're on with the mayor. Mayor, slip this headset on so you can hear Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you. Bob, it's very good to talk to you again.
Hi, Jim.
You know, for a long time, I was against the modern streetcar for a number of political reasons. But there are three things that turned me around. One, Tucson's number 10 in the youth market wanting to come here and work here. And our salvation, of course, is that corridor between downtown and the university. Two, higher density populations within the downtown U of A core. Those people don't want to drive. They don't want to own vehicles. And I think this is going to be a good thing for us. And number three, I think it does give Tucson something a little bit more unique that will be a draw for that demographic that is seeking us out. So that's what flipped me around, and I'm glad you had enough vision to go with that at the time. However, and I always have a however, Bob, I still would very much like to see some horizontal mass transit light rail going down Broadway, going down Speedway, going down Grant, and going up Campbell, Palo Verde, and Albernon. I think we really do need that, because mm-hmm. the population has punished us by moving to Marana, Oro Valley, Vail and Suarita. Okay. So we're going to have to serve those populations.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, Shima, let me tell you that you're exactly right on your 3 points. That's exactly what we saw, that infill, vertical growth densities, and connecting centers of energy. And I was talking to Bill about how we marketed the modern streetcar was that we were going to pick a U.S., for the first time, a U.S. manufacturer of a modern streetcar, and we were going to put American workers back to work building the first all-American-built streetcar in 58 years. And we took that to Washington. And I tell you, in the period that we were in, Jim, that it was people were going out of work. Stimulus money was being provided to put people back to work. And frankly, I think it was that initiative that they said and gave us the fifth largest award out of a $1.2 billion stimulus package to complete the modern streetcar in Tucson, Arizona, and put American workers back to work.
All right, it's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's take a break right here. We'll be back to talk more with Mayor Walkup, and kind of interesting how that whole Tiger Grant came about. Mayor Walkup continues with the story right after this.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Jerry, What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Following up, Mayor, on Jim Kelly's remark about he would like to see eventually some kind of light rail down our major streets like Broadway, Campbell. Think that will ever happen?
Absolutely. It's got to happen. And I think he's exactly right. But I think the people have got to see that light rail works. And it's part of economic prosperity. It doesn't just move people. It establishes, it links people together and gives them a future. And the investment community says, boy, is this a good idea.
Well, people say, Mayor, that it's just, why are we doing this modern streetcar when we could just have a bunch of buses running back and forth from the university to downtown? It would sure be cheaper.
It would be cheaper, but again, just think about, now let's see, would we get $1.2 billion worth of outside investments in downtown building hotels and building residents and condos,
hotels
if we added buses?
Hopefully.
And the answer is they wouldn't, because it's a sign of a community caring about itself. But I got to tell you the story about here we come, Washington.
Yeah, the $63 million still needed to be funded. You needed the Tiger Grant, and it wasn't really happening. So you go to Washington.
So here's what you do if you're the mayor: you get up, you get your bag, and you call a guy by the name of Terry Bracey.
Right? Uh-huh. Terry is a monthly contributor to this program, longtime lobbyist for the city of Tucson.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. And does he and his staff have just done a spectacular job. And this is the time that they are going to show their mettle, because this is a do-or-die deal for the city of Tucson. And so he lays out the map for what does a mayor have to do when you're in Washington? Who do you have to see? How often do you have to see them? How do you explain what the charge is, and what is the strategy, and what's the importance of this? And it includes all of the delegation, but it also includes, at the time, Vice President Biden, that was making it his job to make sure that this stimulus package made it into the American workforce and reduced unemployment. So part of that whole series of events over the next several years was just knock on the door day after day and pursue the grant. And without the guidance of somebody like Terry Bracey and his people, it's an impossible task. You have got to rely on people that know how to get that job done.
The door was closed on numerous occasions, though, wasn't it?
Well, everybody in the country is knocking on a door, right? So you got to find a way that said, hi, you know, I'm the mayor of the city of Tucson.
And they go, well, join the club.
Yeah, join the club.
You know, you're get in line.
It is not an easy task, but that announcement came that we were the fifth largest award $63 million, and that gave us the money to almost the next day, to launch the contract to build the streetcar from the Oregon Iron Works and put our people back to work.
And I remember interviewing you the next day on the TV show, and I don't think I've ever seen you happier ever after the news of the Tiger Grant. And speaking of the TV show, over your 12 years as mayor, every month we talked on TV. Didn't I ask you a specific question every month?
Yes, you did. And you said, when are we going to see something happening? And I always responded,
downtown specifically. When are we going to see something happening downtown?
Keep the faith.
And now we have, what, you're saying $1.3 billion with a B there, billion associated with development that is attributed to what's going on with the streetcar.
The streetcar linked the university with downtown. And the key was the letter that President Shelton sent to me. And they said, "Dear Mr. Mayor, with the announcement of the award of the Tiger Grant, I will now consider downtown as an extension of the campus of the University of Arizona." And what that means to people like the investment community and the bankers is permanency. And we can lend money to build student housing. And here comes student housing. And with student housing comes what's called the Austin model. The Austin, Texas model is the University of Texas is right next to downtown, right? Mm-hmm. And you establish an entertainment district. And so there it is. I'll tell you the other thing about the modern streetcar and what we have, we don't have to worry about downtown anymore. Mm-hmm. It's on its own. It's going to take off. Now we can start worrying about the rest of the city and the rest of the region on our issues for what makes a great region.
What do you say to the critics who continue to bring up the fact that so much money was wasted on Rio Nuevo?
First of all, I don't believe it. I can tell you I know where all the money went. We've spent some money, frankly. The thing they don't like is designing something that you don't build. People don't get that. But, you know, I came out of aerospace, and I can tell you we spent billions of dollars bidding a project that went to some other company. But you have to do it if you're going to play in that game. So we designed a hotel that we didn't build. We helped some of the museums put something together that they could take to their investors that the investor says, we're not going to invest in that at that time. But I can tell you that we spent money in the infrastructure. We spent money on the landfill on the west side of the I-10. We spread out I-10 so we could connect the west side with the east side. No, I think that it set the foundation for what we're experiencing today.
The infrastructure issue is interesting in that folks criticize all the money spent. They never talk about the infrastructure, and that's huge. Wasn't that a huge piece of the pie? A huge piece of the pie,
but also we had to buy the TCC, by the way, which was about $36 million. So out of what we spent was buying back the TCC into the district ownership. So a lot of money went there, but it was infrastructure things you couldn't see.
When you were looking for the modern streetcar, you eventually settled on an American-made product. They had really not made streetcars in this country for many, many years.
58.
Yeah. And so how did you know that these folks would deliver?
Oh, Bill, that was now, I got to say, my previous business.
Yes.
Aerospace. Mm-hmm. One of the things I did was I did due diligence on acquisitions in aerospace. So I know how to go into a factory, and I can tell you what they're doing and whether they're efficient and effective and whether or not the acquisition would be a reasonable thing to do. And I went with the city manager at the time, Mike Hines, and went with Richard Miranda, as a matter of fact. And we inspected a barge and bridge building company in Oregon that wanted to get into the business. And I got down underneath it, and I looked at what they had done in their prototype, and I said, boy, oh boy, this is going to be a long shot, but I think they can do it. They can convert a design, Skoda, as a matter of fact. They can convert it, and I think that the gamble's worth it to get the first all-American streetcar, and I think this company can do it.
Mayor Walkup, we want to thank you very much. How is your honorary consul to the Republic of South Korea going?
Busy. In trade, and I tell you, in both export and import, and in festivals. And I'm headed back over there the first 3 weeks in October, and then again in January, February, see if we can get some business moved into in this region from South Korea.
Mayor Bob Walkup, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show. It's great to see you again.
Always a pleasure.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Texas authorities say the man charged in the shooting deaths of a couple near Houston and four of their children is married to the sister of the woman who was killed. And they say Ronald Haskell demanded to know the whereabouts of his estranged wife. The Democrat who's running for governor of Texas says that President Obama really should visit the Texas border to witness firsthand the crisis of tens of thousands of young migrants entering the U.S. unaccompanied by adults. Police in suburban Atlanta say results of a toxicology report on a Georgia toddler who died in a hot car have come back with negative results. However, officials will not specify which substances they were testing for. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 62 points, and NASDAQ and the S&P lower as well. This is SRN News.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman from Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You got bugs? They driving you up the wall? I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. You call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 886-0045. They are more than competent. They're very economical. And check this out. They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900. Beat the heat and get back down to earth in the cool mountain air at the 2014 Silver City, New Mexico Clay Festival, the weekend of August 1st. Whether you are a seasoned clay artist or want to get your hands dirty for the first time, you'll be right at home at the Silver City Clay Festival. Enjoy a variety of workshops, demonstrations, lectures on everything from using clay in construction to contemporary ceramics. Take home a work of art or a book or two from the clay market. The Clay Festival also offers tours of a handmade tile factory, a gala reception, live music, juried exhibitions, and more. The Silver City Clay Festival is a Silver City Arts and Cultural District signature event the weekend of August 1st in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. For more information, go to clayfestival.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It was 50 years ago this month, the Civil Rights Act was signed into law, officially banning discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. It also ended racial segregation in schools, at the workplace, and in general public facilities. Are we over racism in this country? Does color of skin still matter? That's our topic of this month's edition of the Showdown on the Buckmaster Show, featuring two gentlemen who rarely agree on anything. Seated to the right of me is Sean McCluskey, Tea Party and Republican Party activist, and to the left of me, in the left-hand corner, leftist David Morales, creator of the Three Sonorans blog site. David and Sean, how are you, gentlemen? Today.
Excellent.
Very well, thank you.
790-2040, 790-2040. We invite folks to join in the conversation. The topic, does race still matter? David Morales, does it still matter? Color of the skin?
I think ideally it shouldn't matter. And I think in our own and individual lives, especially as you become more educated and more open-minded, you'll say, what does it matter to me? But overall, in society, it does matter, and it plays a huge impact on, for example, you just mentioned the Civil Rights Act. 1954 was Brown versus Board, ending school segregation. TUSD is still under a desegregation order to this day. We have civil rights complaints on Sheriff Arpaio, on TUSD. You know, we have 1070, we have, you know, immigration crisis. We have disparities of teacher pay, and it's all like directly correlated with, you know, south side of town, north side of town, which is where the race barrier is.
But when people meet you for the first time, do you think they're looking at your color? Honestly, no.
If when I'm crossing a border patrol checkpoint, yes. I think, well, 1070 says in there, you have, if a cop has reasonable suspicion to to think you're an immigrant. Well, what is reasonable? Like, how do you define reasonable suspicion other than, well, you look Mexican. That means you're brown skinned.
But you don't look Mexican. You really, I mean, you look Hispanic. I don't know what a Mexican looks like.
I look reasonably suspicious, let's put it that way.
Well, that's because, you know, you look reasonably suspicious, so do I, so does he, and so does everybody else. I mean, what are you doing wrong that makes you look suspicious? Nothing.
No, reasonably suspicious to be here as an immigrant. Reasonably suspicious as a Mexican. It's not just reasonably suspicious as a person. I mean, it's an immigration law, right?
So you're saying that when you go through the border checkpoint, because you're of Hispanic descent, you have a tougher time to get through that checkpoint than I do because I'm a white kid sitting over here.
Would Sean have an easier time through the checkpoint?
I think we could actually test this out many times. I mean, you can just see how many times will they wave him through, whereas me...
I've never been waved through. I've always been asked, what country of origin are you from?
Well, you can see how, I mean, we can just test this anytime you want. I mean, I had my car searched inside and out, taking the door panels out because, you know, just because they felt like it, they had a hunch or something. Does race matter? Yes. I mean, you look at the pay, you look at any, you know, if you believe in mathematics and if you believe in the way you can study this stuff. Every, you know, you can just prove it up and down, left and right, that race does matter. You know,
well, let Sean say.
I'd say Sean, personal appearance matters much more than race. Race has nothing to do with it. If you show up and you walk into McDonald's and you look like a thug, you're going to get less service than if you walk in and you look like a normal everyday citizen. That's a fact of life.
Now, are you saying as a thug, like a white guy? Or
if you're a white guy with big hoop earrings and you got tattoos on your face, you're going to get less service than the Hispanic kid walks in a shirt and tie. Guaranteed. They're going to look at you funny. It doesn't matter if you got your pants down to your fanny. I don't care what color you are. They're going to look at you like a thug. They're going to treat you differently. If you expect everybody to get equal treatment, then I treat everybody equally. I look at them and I say, okay, you get out of your car. How do you take care of your car? How do you take care of your house? How do you take care of your life? What is your demeanor?
Okay, I mean, that sounds nice, but when you look at the actual statistics, for example, you can have an educated, and you know, there's ways to to balance stuff out. Like, for example, you can, normalize for education, for, you know, experience, all this stuff. You know, black educated people will receive less pay than white uneducated people. In the workplace. There's studies.
Specifically where?
Anywhere. Like, I mean, these are stats. I mean, I've been posting a bunch on your wall for the last month.
If there's any black guy out there that's working for a company that knows that he's getting significantly less because he's black, he would sue the ever-living daylights out of that
company.
And
there's been tons of cases.
Give me one recently here in Tucson. I mean, look at your
Facebook
50
wall.
Years ago.
I've been posting
years ago.
I've got one of them in front of me. You said, this is from the Hartford Current that David Morales posted, let's not pretend we're colorblind, and the author of the op-ed piece goes on to cite different examples.
But it's one person's opinion. It's an op-ed.
No, it's not an opinion. It's he cites examples of studies where this is studied.
Obama has been the greatest equalizer in reducing racial tensions in this country, documented by the New York Times, and it's also done by, since 1976, he has taken it and moved it 14 times less than, the racial tension has moved it 14 times less than where it was in 20 years.
How do you measure racial tension?
They did it through an experiment and through a study through two guys that went to University of Michigan, and they've reported on this, and they did it back in 2008. They did it again in 2013, and they said that it is declining because President Obama is president. They said more whites, regardless of political party, had voted for President Obama than any other race. So tell me, where's your racial tension if you got more whites voting for a black guy?
Well, all the whites that didn't vote for him and that spit on him and that say that he's a communist and a Marxist and everything that he does that you hate, like, for example, all the stuff that you hate about him. I mean, there's never any, like, substance to
no,
the
debate. No. So you're saying that I'm a racist because I don't like him. I don't like him because of his actions.
I never said you're a racist.
I care less of his skin color.
I never said you're a racist.
He could be George Bush, one of the guys I like. He could be Ronald Reagan. If he's doing the things he's doing, I wouldn't like him. Let me ask you this.
Okay, that's a good example. Ronald Reagan, a guy you like, granted amnesty to Mexicans.
Correct. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with everything every Republican does. He's got
85%. Now, if Obama did it, he'd be you would consider that the worst thing ever.
Correct, because I didn't agree with it when Reagan
still
did
have
it either.
But you still have dinners for Ronald Reagan. You still
absolutely,
him.
Because the other
so it's
15,
overlookable, is what you're saying. He's still...
It's forgivable. It's not overlookable. You never forget it. Let me ask you this. Are you raising your two boys that because they are brown, they're not going to get treated the same as everybody else? Mm. Yes or no? Mm.
They're not going to be treated the same.
The heck they're not. Let them come to my world and let them stay with me.
This isn't just about you. This is about society. Okay. This is about...
I'm in society, yes or no?
You're one person. You're not Sheriff Arpaio. You're not all his proven racially profiling cops. You know, like, they've done studies on this.
If they were proven, they would be disbanded.
All right. No, guys. They have been proven. There's a federal court order on us saying you need to stop doing this.
All right. The showdown continues. The question of the day, does race matter? Does color matter? Let's hear from you folks. 790-2040. 790-2040. I'd like to hear from the listeners. What do you think? Yes or no to our question. Sean McCluskey is here and David Morales. We're going to listen now to the fine group of people who support the Buckmaster Show and believe in the work that we do here every day at noon. Be right back.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views, but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culican Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culican Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culican Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culican high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training, because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our monthly showdown featuring Sean McCluskey and David Morales. We've got a full board of folks who want to join in on the conversation, and it is a good topic. Are we over racism in this country, i.e., and then color? What about it? Does it still matter? All right, let's begin with, go ahead, Rose, with the first one. I'm not sure on the name on that one, but let's go. Okay, go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, this question is for David. David, I'm just wondering, given the influx of people that we have coming in, especially right now, would you be willing, you personally, in your household, be willing to take in one or two or more, if you could, of these people who are seeking, I don't know if they're seeking asylum or whatever from the country that they come from? And would you be willing to ensure that they get their citizenship legally? Would you be willing to take on that responsibility?
Well, I mean, I think that the path to citizenship is almost impossible nowadays. So your question inherently doesn't mean anything, because there is no path to citizenship nowadays after 9/11. I mean, there is no line. You know, people talk about all this stuff, but in reality, it doesn't exist anymore. And I was just thinking one thing about what Sean was saying earlier. He's talking about his one thing of data is that racial tensions have declined. That also means that racial tensions still exist. They're just less than they used to be. So race does matter.
Race is irrelevant to accept those ignorant few. And it doesn't matter what color they are. There are people that, I don't care what color you are, I've seen it where blacks don't like Hispanics, Hispanics don't like blacks, whites don't like anybody.
Okay. Did race matter when the Constitution was written and they said that blacks are 3/5 of a person?
Back then it did.
Did race matter when slavery was allowed in
this
country?
Back then it did.
Did race matter when segregation was allowed?
Where have we come in the past 50 years?
Okay, when exactly did race end in this country?
Over the past 50 years, racial tensions...
What year did it end?
You're never going to give an exact example of when it ended. I'm telling you that study after study that I've researched shows that racial tensions, whites versus blacks, blacks versus whites, brown versus white, white versus brown, have all declined significantly.
That's one indicator.
Over the past 6 years.
What about education? What about income? What about... You know, everything, access to education, access to healthcare, access to how easy it is to get a loan. You know, like there's so
much.
I
can't get a loan. I'm white. Apparently I can get a loan because I'm white, but I can't.
You're less likely to the thing is.
Like, no, if you don't qualify, you don't qualify.
We're saying this during the break is you live in a little bubble where if it doesn't exist around you, it doesn't exist.
Not saying.
Sean is saying
scientific fact proving him wrong.
No, what Sean says is I'm not racist, therefore racism doesn't exist.
No.
And people, I know some Mexicans and they get paid more than me, so therefore racism doesn't exist. It's like you got to look nationwide at millions of numbers to see the trend.
All right.
You know, mathematically proven.
One of our callers wants to take issue with David about, wants to know exactly who spit on President Obama. Do you want to clarify that, David Morales?
It's a metaphor. I mean, okay. People have been, they spit on Lupillo Rivera last week. They spit on some black congressman one time. They spit on his legacy, his image. Here's another question for Sean. How many white people have been put to death for killing black people in this country?
No idea.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
What do you think it's going to be?
No idea.
Now, did the person that killed Martin Luther King get the death penalty? Now, if you look at the DNA Innocence Project, almost always the people they find innocent that have been in jail for like 30, 40 years are black people. Hmm. Almost always.
Give me something from like the last 5 years. Okay. 30, 40 years ago, we just had 50 years ago, we went into racial tension.
How many white people
have been escalated and there would be more tension until today.
In the history of this country, how many white people have been put to death?
Give me something in the last 5 years. I want something current. Okay, I don't want 50 years of history.
In the last 5 years, how many white people have been put to death for killing a black person?
How many?
Zero.
Okay. All right, 790-2040, 790-2040. Join in the conversation. Does race still matter? David Morales says yes, it certainly does. Sean McCluskey says no, we've kind of gotten beyond that. It's the 50-year anniversary this month of the Civil Rights Act. David, do you experience yourself racism in your daily life?
Of course, all the time.
Give me an example. When this week even, did something happen to you that you thought you were being the target of a racist slur, a racist action? Give me an example.
Well, I've crossed a Border Patrol checkpoint in the last.
You mentioned the Border Patrol earlier.
The shirt I'm wearing right now, we have a conference going on this weekend, this week for Mexican American Studies. Okay. It's been banned in the state by a known racist now who you guys all, you supported at least, McCluskey, you know, who said, "I will stop La Raza." And you were like, "I will vote for this guy," even though he says, "I will stop La Raza," which is a clearly racist statement. So in my families, I have to deal with this all the time because the penalties for drug use, the penalties for any crimes, it's been proven. And I'll post this on your Facebook. I don't got it right now. But white people tend to do more drugs than minorities. They also have access to a lot more powerful drugs like, you know, pharmaceuticals and stuff. If you go to the Pima County Jail, though, how many people are in there for marijuana-related offenses? It'll be overwhelmingly minorities because they don't enforce these laws as much as they do on the South Side. The penalties for crack versus cocaine. Cocaine, which is using upper middle class.
Everything that you've mentioned is an illegal act and somebody's been caught.
But the penalties are different. People get death penalty. Black people who are innocent get put into jail for 30, 40 years because it's just, that's just the way it is. They don't have less access to Operation Streamline.
The
right
laws
now
are the same regardless of color.
All right, let's
the
go.
The penalties are different.
Let's go to Sean. Sean has been waiting really patiently. He had to leave and then he called back. So I do want to put Sean on the air. Go ahead, Sean.
Bill, good afternoon. Sean,
hi.
Good afternoon. Sean knows me.
Okay.
What I have to say is this. If we focus on race as the obvious cause of crime versus focusing on the crime, of course there are going to be more allegations of this being racial and not being racial. I have to tell you that I personally consider myself to be very lucky, and I'm a lot older than anybody in that room with the exception of you, Bill, that I was raised by parents who are colorblind.
Okay.
You judge a person on their character, on their actions, on their beliefs.
Absolutely.
Not the color of their skin. That is the biggest problem. And I'm talking to you from a standpoint of having about 30 years in law enforcement experience. It's never been an issue with me, will never be an issue with me, and there's tons of police officers, law enforcement officers across this nation that feel the same way.
Thank you, Sean.
Okay,
Sean, I want to also get in, Rose, can we think we can get in some of these other callers? I hate to make them wait. I think we have Marie. Marie, go ahead. Hi, Marie.
Hello. Yes, I just wanted to chime in a little bit if I could.
Quickly, please.
I come from a huge, long, 150-year mixed history on this border. I know this scene like nobody knows it. You know, things have changed. All of my Hispanic grandchildren, you know what? If they turn into the little La Raza whiners, they're not going to make it.
Okay.
If they get up and do the right thing, learn the language, get educated, quit whining, quit playing with revisionist history.
All right. Thank you, thank you, Maria. I'm sorry to have to cut folks off, but we really are running out of time. Helen, I don't have time for Helen. Sean and David, thank you very much. We may have to continue this topic.
Absolutely.
Because we didn't really get all the callers in because folks kind of joining the conversation late on this, but I think there will definitely have to be a part two coming up on this. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It looks like a great weekend to head over to Silver City. They're getting rain like we have. That means the Gila National Wilderness greening up. It's so beautiful over there. Go hiking just 3 hours east of Tucson. It's a mile high elevation. Can't beat it. It's a nice weekend getaway. Great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Culligan. All of our in-studio guests provided with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. We thank you, Culligan, for your support of the Buckmaster Show. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow with Chris and Joe. Then the Daily Double comes along at 8 to 9. New talk show here for Tucson at 4 at 4 o'clock on AM 1030 KVOI. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll be back with you. Guest tomorrow on the Friday Focus, Fletcher McCusker. See you at 12:04.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.